So I'm learning a hard lesson. It's not a hard lesson, a lesson that I already knew, but like, you know, sometimes you gotta like relearn lessons. You know, I banged my knee up a couple weeks ago, a few weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago now. And I've started testing the water when I think I knew I shouldn't be testing the water, you know, but like, again, it's like telling a crack addict to not smoke crack sometimes when it's like, hey, your knee's a little banged up. You probably shouldn't be training jujitsu, but yet got to test the water a little bit. And, you know, I'm regretting it a little bit today.
Well, let me play.
Thinking that, you know, maybe I should give it a little more time.
Let me play devil's advocate to this. What is testing the water? Are we just going for a swim? Or because you and I have had a couple of swims since testing the water, and they've been refreshing. Or are we? Hey, this. I guess the thing is, you're more self upset with yourself at some of the decisions you might have made. And it's nothing against people, but it's like, you know what rounds are going to be good for you. You know what training partners are going to be good for you. You also probably know how much is optimal and how much is not. But just like all of us, it's like even the other night or like in class, even though you know those things, you still struggle with it. It's only one or two more rounds and I'm in shape. I can do this. Like, it'll be fine.
Well, and the tricky part too is even though you're like, okay, I can control this. I know what things I shouldn't be doing. There are still just too many unknowns and uncontrolled things that can happen where, and this is what happened last night, rolling with a good partner, no issue, just end up in a position where now it pulls things a little bit too far in the wrong direction. And then there's some pain and it's like, shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't like I shouldn't be doing this right now because it's not ready to go there yet. You know what I mean?
And
We're like, it feels fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Until you just get in that one weird position that like you didn't have any control. Like nobody did. Nobody did anything stupid. And you're like, maybe this is a sign that I need a little more time.
I don't know if this makes sense, but it just made me think of something like, I can be a good training, but I can know your knee and we can sit down and I can be like, okay, we're gonna be perfectly fine. But like, if we get to a spot and you kind of feel a little torque or something, in that moment of like training, if you say, hey, stop, and then I'm like, okay, we don't wanna do this to the knee. So, you know, the exchange of techniques stops. So it's kind of a weird thing. It's like, no, I don't want to hurt you, but we also like have exchanged techniques at the nicest of entry level back and forth. And we're at a spot where nature would show that you wouldn't make it through here. Like your knee is not going to make it through to the next technique, even though like, I don't know, it's just a weird thing. So it's kind of hard in the sense of if you and I were to train and you need to watch out for yourself. And I need to watch out for you of not being an asshole. Like I shouldn't be trying to like flip the hips and smash pass like over here and put the knee in these positions that could very easily something happens or like take down situations and stuff, scrambles. That kind of stuff is obvious. But exchanging techniques, you're still responsible for yourself because even if I'm going at a light pace, it's you putting yourself in the technique. So it's a weird thing.
Absolutely. And that's where it's happened. I mean, I think it's been in like, it's not that my training partner did anything crazy. And I definitely had like a round last night with somebody who I ordinarily wouldn't roll with in that kind of a circumstance that's a little more higher paced, we'll say. And it was fine because it's like, okay, well, I still know I can control this situation and I'm willing to like let positions go. And I'm happy to get in a bad position by not compromising myself. But at the same time, I had that thing is like when I get on top, I'm gonna like it's gonna be time to just like control this situation here. And then when I, you know, again, still sometimes put myself in this position where it's like, ah, it's putting too much strain on there. And now you're relying not just on yourself, right? Because if I'm in the gym and I put myself, in fact, just this morning, right? I'm there, Hailee's leading an amazing workout and we're cooling down. Even just in the cool down, it's like, oh, I can't really put my knee in that position, but I can stop that immediately. But when I'm, and you know, she can give me an option that's different. That's like, try it this way. Great. Now I'm good. But when I'm training with somebody else, I can recognize I put this in the wrong position, but that split second of they've moved in a direction that now exacerbates the problem.
And when do you, what level do you feel that at? At the gym this morning, you're going to feel it immediately.
Right.
In jiu-jitsu, I'm trying to like choke you.
It's too late,
you're,
right?
When you're emotionally invested.
When you feel it, it's probably too late. It's
probably, yeah.
Because you're intertwined with another person.
You've already been in the position that you felt tenderness today in the gym. You've already rolled around and moved through that. So yeah, I don't know. It's a weird, this is the thing we could talk about every single time of just like everybody learning and finding their own balance and realizing that you're going to fail and that part of being in shape and just living the journey for the lifestyle means that failure sometimes can last, you know, into a surgery that lasts 6 months or failure can last a day.
Yeah.
But like, we're always going to be on this quest.
Yeah.
And you know, just continued input.
Well, and it's an ego thing. You know, where it's like, no, I'm fine. I can control things, whatever. And you gotta be willing to say, maybe that's not the case. Maybe it needs a little more time. So I was kind of thinking through of, okay, say I decided we just need to give it a little more time. What can I do productive in the meantime? And was talking with, of course, the always wise Jose last night, you know, and it was like, okay, well, you know, could spend more time in the gym and focus on that and some other things that I've not had as much time for, and even some work projects and stuff like that. And it's like, man, I could make the decision to say, you know what, I'm going to take 4 weeks off of jiu-jitsu. I'm just going to decide that that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to let that heal up and that should be good. You know, then we can test the water, but I'm going to give an intentional 4 weeks, but I'm not just going to do nothing. I'm going to replace that with, okay, I'm going to have like an extra day or two in the gym as opposed to 2 to 3 days. It's going to be 3 to 4 days. And you know, all these other things that I can do productively, as well as, hey, that's however many hours a week that I can maybe work on some work projects. Maybe I can go on a date with Tara, like something, right? That still feeds into that positivity. That's the
most beneficial thing. Like, that's what I need in my life at times. Like, and I've thought about that, like, okay, hey, like my training volume, like things are going down. Like, all right, these are the goals, this is where I'm at. Like, I have more time. Why don't I right now, like, allocate that time here when I'm going to have to end up doing this eventually.
Yeah.
And this would be a better time that it doesn't weigh, like, you know, hey, I can wait 6 weeks to do it. But then all of a sudden, what if everybody's in town? I'm feeling better. I'm training better. It's like, well, I don't want to work then. Like, get it. Yeah. I actually thought about this. I was listening to a podcast and they were talking about, you know, just people that have, you know, one guy was a, sportscaster host on, you know, NBC and stuff, longtime guy. But in the off season, when he doesn't work the 4 or 5 months out of the year, whatever, he's like all over the place doing all sorts of things.
Yeah.
He's just an adventurous. And I love that aspect of like somebody being able to just completely disconnect. But then it's like, okay, you know, I've got an obligation for 5 months out of the year. I'm on TV. I do this. I don't train every day. I don't do this, but I've built this lifestyle and I have this rhythm.
Yeah.
And I think that rhythm has been shown, if we're talking about sports and athleticism and things like that, it's been shown a million times. Like the best athletes, like literally have their downtime, like the Aaron Rodgers and stuff, not touching a football for a month.
Yeah.
I always think of that when I think of how much we can't give up jiu-jitsu for a day. And that they're like the best athletes. There had to be a time when Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan both put the basketball down for a week and disconnected. And it wasn't weak. It was actually more powerful.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to connect to that.
Yeah. Man, you wanted to talk about
all sorts of
someone or something. You had a rant. You needed a rant.
Man, I've been wanting to rant about this for like, because I see it every single day and I'm torn on multiple sides. So this is a good place for me to bring you in with this and kind of play devil's advocate or give me the real world perspective of why I'm crazy on some of this. You know, because let's talk about the knees over toes situation that's become very popular. Ben Patrick has become very famous. He's got a huge following, millions of followers. He, you know, his content reaches on all platforms. He's absolutely ahead of the game. Now, on the stuff, I think it's very elementary, but I think elementary sales sells right now. We just don't view it. We like to have, when somebody can present things and show you like the world record sprint, but then regress it down and show you the simplicity that my 74-year-old mom can still do that 100-meter walk. It could be backwards if her knees hurt. You know, like we've regressed it down to the bare minimum so that we show you how this and this, they coexist. And it's like, well, duh. So like, did we get famous on regressing exercises? Because that should be a fear. Like that should be scary. As in like, no, that should be standard common sense. Like every trainer should know the regressions. And we're talking about things like regressions from a full Nordic, like a Nordic curl.
Right.
You know, like how, if I told you, how would you, what are ways that you could regress that? There's no way you can just, you know, strap your legs down and drop all the way down to the chest, extending from the knees, keep a nice tight core, pull yourself back up. Like, what are you going to do?
I mean, you can use arm assisted, you can reduce range of motion, maybe even just go so far back as to do leg curls. You could do,
okay, these are a million things that like these, yeah, these are all like a million things. First one is super simple, reduce range of motion.
Yeah.
You know, like that, this stuff should be known. Now, it's all great stuff, but then I made a claim, and my big thing at first was we educate all the not as educated or not as experienced trainers, and then we allow them to come into our club, and then we educate them with this science, our experiences, our opinions, and we have them go out there and fight the fight for us. And the fight is like, these exercises fix knees. Like, we are part of this group that does this, and we are all kicking out the same sort of content, and we are showing you how we regress it, and it's minimalistic, and you can do it anywhere. There are no excuses. We are the ATG group. These are the exercises. And we never talked about the foot, because the knee was the program. But the foot is literally the connection to the earth that we have way more than the knees up chain. So not to say that the knee can't affect the foot and the foot can't affect the knee, but then the foot, if we're working on the knee and the hip, we need to be working on the foot, or we need to at least make sure no matter what first that the foot is functional and stable and ready for not only balance and stability, but it's ready for locomotion. Then we work up chain. Okay. Now, where I start to get upset at a lot of this is that it all just kind of changed. All of a sudden now, and I get it, and I'm for all of this. I'm not bitching at any of this. I'm for making money. I'm for entrepreneurship. I guess what I'm trying to point out is that we have to be able to see that this is big entrepreneurship, and this isn't like big time world experience, passionate coaching for some time. It's using the knowledge of that, but it kind of discredits the common quiet trainer, such as myself. That's why it makes me mad. Like, I get around, you see this.
Yeah.
You've seen the people that I have to argue this are my own students, because everybody is on social media.
Yeah.
And everybody sees this stuff and they think that I'm not giving them something, or these coaches aren't giving them something, because this is the secret. And they're seeing all this and it's like, calm down. Slow down.
I think that's the thing that really bothers me, because until I started working with you, like, I would get so kind of lost in the sauce out there, right? Because everybody had this kind of, all these sort of, this is the way, right? So very dogmatic or the secret, right?
Yeah.
And that's, to me, when we did kind of first start seeing all the ads and everything for kind of the knees over toes thing, it was sort of like, I've got the secret. I've got the secret answer that nobody else has. I've got the magic bullet that this is going to fix everything. This is going to make you be able to dunk a basketball. This is going to be able to, you know, all these kinds of things that like it would give that impression of. And it is frustrating, because like you said, then somebody comes to you and says, oh, well, look at this thing and look at all the magic that this is doing. And it's like, yes, we're doing those things, maybe a slightly different take on it, but like, we're still trying to accomplish those things. But then like you point out too, where we also need to look at the foot, because that's something that just only recently has really kind of like come into my conceptual understanding, mm-hmm. is foot position and pressure and foot health that I'd never really understood, mm-hmm. Until we kind of started talking about it and how that can be such a missing link for things.
When did we look at the foot in this equation? This is what started this topic with you and I, when I sent that to you. We looked at the foot into this whenever the Foot Collective came out with amazing products, which I have bought myself. I love them. And who better than to have speak about it and put on it than Ben Patrick? Do you guys not know business? I mean, that's why if I create a Tib Raisin stick or a Nordic curl bar to put on the door at home, or these things to be able to do ATG type exercises, actual exercises that then ATG put in the system, mm-hmm. like the products have all come out now, the benches, the glue, all these things. And it are all attached by that. And at first it was about simplicity. And you can literally do this anywhere with anything. Like, you don't need this fancy equipment. You just need this to be able to do this. And now it's like, now if you listen to his new podcast and stuff, it's all about like trying to pioneer. I'm still trying to create. I'm trying to make this stuff more accessible and easier. Can we get these, you know, Tib Raise machines and stuff in gyms so that we don't have to set this stuff up? And it all sounds good and makes sense. But at the end of the day, it's all laughable because it is like human function. And we in exercise have lost the conversation of human function. Okay. So if somebody comes back around and says, no, nothing happens, dunking, running, lifting, nothing happens until you can accomplish these things. And we just go back and we make sure that somebody has adequate mobility and stability in all their joints and has all their basic movement patterns down and a decent level of body weight, you know, strength onto that and capacity. That's the foundation we should be talking from.
Yeah.
And all these amazing programs just bring a little bit of bringing it back to that foundation. We live in an environmental world where we don't really fix the root of problems. We just go, you know, physical therapy is go fix the problems, fix the problems. We're not looking at, whereas physical therapy should be, you walk in and somebody examine the way you move in space, in the parking lot, into their door, the way you sit, the way you breathe, the way you manage stress, the way you manage pressure, because that is strength. I didn't steal this. I stole this one from David Weck. And I love this analogy of pressure being what, like, strength is how you deal with pressure. So if we, and I heard somebody try to argue that right off the bat, and they didn't get it, because it's kind of like, if I talk about, you know, a single mother with three children working three jobs to support, and we make up this elaborate story of just what a lot of women are out there, what are we going to say? That's one strong,
that's strong woman.
That's a strong woman.
Yeah.
It's a lot of pressure. You know, somebody deals with a death as a few, you know, in the family and stuff, and they handle it well and they hold the family together. Everybody says you're strong. You take it in the weight room.
Yeah.
The guy, the power lifter, puts the most weight on his back. He's trying to be able to go up and down or whatever the movement is with the most weight on his back, which is creating the most pressure, mm-hmm. on the structure, the system, and everything. So wherever you want to take it, pressure and our ability to handle pressure, which comes back to the breath. And if we look at powerlifting, the best squatter in the world is going to have some sort of secret to the way they use their breath. Whereas you are in dire straits, anxiety ridden, and somebody teaches you how to meditate, what are they going to do? They're going to teach you how to use their breath. So it all comes back to the simple basics of human physiology, biomechanics, and what we are built to do. And it's like that on every end. And we go back to it when we want to, because mm-hmm. that makes us look better, but we live in the world. So we're talking in two different worlds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what's the takeaway for everyone? If you got one thing to say,
you know, I think the takeaway is that there's lots of good information in that stuff. And I know I just rant and complain about it, but I think that there is a lot of good information. And I think what you do with these types of systems, especially let's say a knees over toes, is invest in the system. It's not that much. And you're going to realize real quick that like knee ability zero, I haven't seen the newest one. Maybe it's changed some, but you're talking about things that are like, do this 20 to 30 minutes a day, three times a week. And he, on his last podcast, I mean, he's literally talking about the 20 or 24 standards that they've built up. And they say, like, if you could achieve these standards, this is an optimal place to be. Agree with most all of it. It was great, whatever. But guess what? The thing is, it's the exact same. Like, it's standards up to a place that you've got to reach. And then you're back to a baseline. Mm-hmm. So he talks about being able to, that any human can probably reach those standards within 2 years. So now we're getting back to a couple of things that we preach all the time, but unless we can put it in cool content and get a million followers behind it, it doesn't have as much weight. Mm-hmm. If you break that down, he's actually talking about less exercise than any of you want to do. He's actually talking about more patience than any of you want to do. The sad thing is, whoa, come on, come on, step out. We're going to have to.
We got dogs trying to rip microphones out of hands.
The sad thing with this is, where was I going with that? We're saying.
So having the standards.
Well, the standards, you get those, you're taking 2 years, you've got time. So patience is right back in the game. You got to be patient. You got to do consistent, small work. He talks about never going through pain. So these are all the same things you hear from me every single day. And I've just been repeating it. So we're all saying this, the attraction to it somehow still gets something. And I think because it's popular. So now what I would do with it is I would take it for what it's worth. I would look into that sort of stuff and I would start to play with it. And I would find, like I would do with all of the answers to this, the answer is the exact same every time. I would find an individual coach, somebody that you can talk about these things with, go over these things. You can even say, I want to try this program, but I want your input and your eyes and your ability to help guide me through this. It's so the human connection with somebody else is far more valuable than any put together system, mm-hmm. because the system is only going to, you know, give you so much unless you're willing to dive super deep and get as deep as you need to with it. But to end my rant about that, I just thought it was really funny that the foot stuff comes out at the exact, well, one after the knee, but also in the podcast, he's even been talking about it, that he's been diving into the foot the last year. And it's like, why are you diving into the foot now? And we should have been diving into the foot first. And now that we have these products, that's when the stuff comes out. And so I think people need to realize that, like, go back to the very first where you can do all this stuff at home with nothing.
Yeah.
And you guys have to have patience because man's best friend doesn't care about podcasts and information. Man's best friend just wants to hang with the boys. But yeah, so that's what I would do with knees over toes. I would take the stuff, do, you know, apply it. It's all been out there and it's all stuff that has been out there and it's valid, but it's not the one old thing that's going to just save your health.
No. And I agree with using a coach because no matter what you take, it's hard to learn some of the nuance of the physical movement without somebody who has like an attuned eye to be able mm-hmm. to watch and say, you need to do this, you need to do that.
Yeah.
Things that I think that I know how to do, but to always get that little tweak and like, here's one way to make it a little bit better and a little bit better. And, you know, without that, I think it's challenging to progress. I think your ceiling is really low if you don't have somebody who can help you. I mean, again, it would be like, can you imagine just trying to learn jiu-jitsu on your own only from watching videos? And then again, it's not that there's not value in instructionals. Obviously, yeah. There is. I've learned a ton from that kind of stuff. But if our only path to try to learn was just from watching videos, that's going to be very difficult because sometimes we need that more advanced person who knows these things a little bit better to be able to say, try it this way, make this little tweak.
Unless all you do is watch Gordon. Because if all you do is watch Gordon, that's essentially the same thing as I do knees over toes, bro. So yeah. Like you better show that you are superior and that you are more knowledgeable. I would say one last thing on the coach thing is not to say these people are bad. There's probably some amazing ones out there. So I'm not saying that at all. But you got to also be wary of like the ATG coach. You can't just go to the website and find the ATG certified coach in your area, because now you're just getting dogmatic in that system, which isn't a bad thing. But most of the people that are still attaching somebody else's, you know, letters and business behind their name, they're usually beginners. They're usually very new to the game. And because I would say this, we know how powerful a lot of the principles and knees over toes could be, but I've shown you several different movement systems that I've kind of presented to you recently, and every single one of them has some gold nuggets.
Absolutely.
They all say the other one's wrong. Like they all argue with the other one. So like, what are we really doing? If you're lining up with one, then you're basically taking yourself out of any of the good of the other camp, because they don't coexist. And that's what everybody's got to understand, that like a real valuable coach or a real valuable mentor is somebody who can step outside of a system and start to also have an understanding of multiple tools, multiple ways to accomplish a goal. And that's just through experience. And that's also being open-minded.
Yeah.
You know,
so we talked a little bit about strength and what that means. You had a question on diaphragm strength.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not sure what the question even was, so I'm excited to hear what
just asked a question about, like, can you improve the strength of your diaphragm? And it's just kind of like pressure was just the greatest thing we heard. Like, again, if we're doing intramuscular breathing or just deep diaphragmatic breathing, and there's a world of soft, medium, hard, you know, in through the nose, out through the mouth, long duration, all these crazy different protocols and breath that all have value. And yes, strengthening the diaphragm, strengthening the human body, strengthening the ability of our blood to be able to, you know, move through our body. The breath even affects our nervous system, the way our nerves and our cells are responding to things. Like, breath is that powerful source to everything. So if we know that the diaphragm, like in a world record, let's talk powerlift and meathead, they know they have to create a lot of intramuscular abdominal pressure, lock that down in a squat so that they're back's not flexing and extending through positions and stuff coming up and down. So we know in the world's meathead example of this, that we are challenged, the diaphragm and the core and the trunk, huge. So if we go into the yoga world, what are they all going to start talking about? Meditation, all that, the power of breath, the Wim Hof, the power of breath. So can you strengthen your diaphragm? I would say yes. How do you want to strengthen it? There's a million ways, probably. I mean, look at all the different arts, the different things you can think about. It's all coming to back to what you value strength is for you. Is it just developing a breathing practice and lowering your resting heart rate and lowering your anxiety and stress throughout the day so that you are literally battling stress management has improved? That is stronger. Like, that's what we're talking about. So that's an example. Or is it the dude over here trying to, you know, get more intramuscular abdominal pressure so that his power lifts and his rate of force development go up? They're both serving the same thing. They're both increased strength.
Right.
And they come from the source.
Yeah. There's a little bit of like, why? Like, why do you want to strengthen your diaphragm?
Yeah.
And probably a lot of that is like a natural byproduct of, okay, if it's for powerlifting, well, having proper breath while doing exercises and, you know, maybe doing some diaphragm warm-up, some breathing exercises before you start and all these kinds of things.
So this goes back into what we were just talking about with knees over toes, though, in my mind. Why did we have to say this? Like, why did we have to get doing and consistently doing the things to then want to say, well, now, how do I add my breath into this? When from the very beginning, the breath was supposed to be combined with it. The breath is the one thing that from when we are born to when we pass away, that we are supposed to aim to get control of. Like, it's the one thing that's providing everything. So like, there's a perfect example. We just get back to this point. It's like, oh, well, I read these articles of like that breathing can help you, you know, in your endurance come back, or, you know, raise your squat by 5% by learning how to create more intramuscular abdominal. It's like, well, all of those were skill sets that we should have gotten first. And so an ankle that works and a knee that bends over the toe was shit we should have gotten before we started CrossFitting, but we didn't, because we live in the modern age world. And then we're able to come around. If I was sort of packaging my life and just putting it out there and saying, like, you guys keep up. We're not supposed to sit for 3 hours a day. You better be getting up and doing these. Like, we know all these things. Some people are out there doing them. Some people find the balance of doing them, but it all comes back to like, we've got to get healthy for our life to be able to partake in all these things we're actually arguing about.
Yeah. It always makes me think of, you know, my old uncle who just had a daily calisthenics practice. You know, he would go for a 2 mile walk and he would have some fairly light dumbbells that he would work with and just some, you know, would do push-ups and sit-ups and bodyweight squats. Yeah. And, you know, was still very fit and healthy well into older age, you know. Mm-hmm. But we overcomplicate it, right? We got to have a whole system just for our knee. When it's like, you know, if we would have just for the whole time for our life been like going for a walk every day and doing a little bit of calisthenics.
If we didn't let the things go that we knew, then yes.
So now I need a whole 22 part system.
And we know
for my knee.
We know. And don't act like we don't know, because I knew every time that I was, you know, doing a joint mobility exercise or a hip circle that I didn't like. And I knew it was in all the books. It was in all the education. It was there. I knew it. It just didn't feel good to me, because all I cared about was the weight on the bar and all that stuff over there that everybody else cared about. Mm. And it's only until it came back full circle when I had to learn that stuff. And then you see the power of just, you know, real movement.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. That's my quest now, to just keep making this argument. And believe me, I would love to, because I really feel like this is a foolproof argument. I really feel like, because if I could talk and we could debate about this stuff, like, I'm going to paint it back to just getting them to say, oh yeah, we probably should do 1, 2, and 3 before we do 3, 4, and 5, you know, but that didn't serve the audience, didn't make you the money on the product. Nobody was going to invest in it. I get it. I understand that, but you know, I don't know. Then I sent you another video, because it just goes down the same thing where it's like, I'll tell you a story. I saw a trainer. She's a fabulous young trainer. She's a hustler. She's working hard and she's trying to provide content and things for her people. And I've been that way, that every time I want to provide something, I want it to be as much as I can provide. Like, if I was giving you a week, mm-hmm, and it was only 3 days of exercising, I'd want to give you 7 days of lifestyle, because that's like what I want to teach. That's what I feel is important. So she did this program. It was like a 6-8 week program or something. It's free, getting her something like that. It's just one of those things, like, I'm doing this for the people, my people. And I was looking at it and I'm like, man, like, you did it, I did it, everybody does it. It was, you know, this is going to be 6 days a week. It's going to have daily mantras, this and that, recovery. And it's like, you know, we're just getting all over the place. Like, you start, that's what a lifestyle needs. Yes. But then you go back to, there's a trainer. It's been around for a long time. Very respected, very smart guy. Puts out amazing content. He's super hilarious. And he doesn't get caught up in all the bullshit out there. He's actually one that just does honest, good work. Trains a lot of celebrities. So he gets great views. And he came out with a program recently, his first online one. Doesn't like online stuff, just the same reason I kind of don't like it either. It's like he wants to be able to teach and coach. And so much of that is really what's going on. But he put out an online program and he sticks to his guns. It's three resistance training sessions a week. And his name gives him the ability to charge it pretty good.
Yeah.
And you know what? They get tons of great results. I send you the video of Mike Dolce. Okay. Dolce had a huge following in UFC and stuff for a while. And it's laughable.
The Dolce diet.
Yeah. I mean, but it's like, what would I do to lose 40 pounds? And it's like, well, first off, I'd go on a walk for 30 to 60 minutes every morning. I would resistance train 30 to 60 minutes, three times a week. I would prioritize my sleep. I would eat a diet of real food and only real food. And I'm not going to spend 2 weeks online on every forum. I'm going to take healthy shit from carbs, fats, and protein and just balance it out. And I'm going to be good.
Yeah.
And we all as trainers know that. Beautiful. I said, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
spot on. So where are we now whenever, in order to give you something, we almost have to give you 7 days. Here's three different options of diet. Here's a keto variation. Here's this way. Here's the ways you can hack this. Here's also the daily mantras that you need to be doing. Instead of when it comes down to guys, we need to play more. We need to resistance train three times a week and we need to get fucking active.
Yeah.
And food, we need real food, which leads us to the third thing we were going to talk about.
And this also reminds me, I literally yesterday saw a Reddit post and it was, what five supplements would you recommend for everybody? And so there's these random people on the internet that are like, you should take this and this and this and this and this. And like 100 people had their opinion on these are the five supplements that everybody should be taking. And it's like, okay, let's back up.
Yeah.
Let's back up.
Who are these people?
Yeah.
You know, I always click on their profiles. I'm bored.
Yeah.
Sometimes. And I'm like, you know, maybe it's bad because I judge.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I live an absurdly too dedicated life with this stuff. So yeah. Like, but no, kind of like what I was just saying leads to a question that I thought was the coolest question I've had in a while. And just so I don't mess it up, I'm going to actually read this question because this is the type of stuff I love.
And, hey, you sent me the gist of it. You found it?
Yeah. Your thoughts on calorie deficit for fat loss versus the more bioenergetic view of increasing metabolism to use energy more efficiently and fat loss being a byproduct without the potential longer term impact of undereating.
Okay, so we've got, on the one hand, eat fewer calories, lose weight, or change our metabolism, lose weight, with the target towards losing fat, but that chronic under-eating can potentially have longer-term problems.
Well, I kind of fall in this camp where I can't remember who I learned this from, but I've always loved the thing where it's like, why not try to always get the most, like if you're trying to lose weight and fat and I'm having to put you on a caloric deficit diet, you should want me to get you as much food as possible to still be accomplishing the task.
Yeah.
So pushing the calories and being able to do that was one thing that was also looking at metabolism. As somebody was, you know, there's a difference in this conversation. Are we looking at metabolism and health? And are we looking at a long-term approach to what's real? Or are we looking at a short-term approach to tactics that we can do to cause an outcome? Doesn't mean that we're better in health, energy, all those things. But if it's simply creating body composition change, we can go over here and do these things that are relatively easy or extreme and get a quick change. We could do that with still having bad foods, processed foods. We could do that by still just honoring the caloric deficit and making sure that we're burning more calories than we're taking in, making sure that we are getting adequate protein so we're still holding onto our lean muscle mass, all those sort of things. So the way I told you was I view these things as two different worlds. I view The first one, as the obesity crisis and just the daily battle that we're in, nobody knows about nutrition. Mm-hmm. Nobody even knows what to eat. We're having to make an argument to eat real food. I'm having to make an argument every day. You've seen it, to eat real food, because they want me to tell them keto. They want me to tell them carnivore. And I say, well, even if you're doing those and you're doing them to the best of your ability, you're doing them with real food. So let's take that out first. You eat like shit. You're overweight. You have an unhealthy, you know, whatever it is, all these things. You need consistency in real food. And it doesn't matter what bioenergetic foods and how, like, you need step one. And step one is, hopefully this stuff balances hormones to a big degree. Hopefully it changes your life. Hopefully, because it all will. Mm-hmm. Now, who fits into the second thing? That's the person who starts to do some self-education, has either had some illnesses and some things that can't be solved just by the regular good, you know, caloric deficit, real foods. Like, now we need to start looking at the real foods that we're eating and mm-hmm. finding the right choices and the eliminating of some because of certain ways that they react in the environment and to us and energy and all these things. What real foods and what ratio and what timing really affect my metabolism, my thyroid production, my ability to raise, you know, just raise the ability to be healthy.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's it's an entirely different conversation. It's real. I totally believe in that stuff. I believe that we all have optimal makeups physiologically. And I believe that's connected to our psyche. It has to be, because otherwise that's how you feel physical stress and like anxiety and stuff. Like, your psyche is giving you, you know, you're actually shaking. And you're nervous and you might not be able to, you know, hold your breath as well. And like, all these things happen physically that are coming through the mind. So I think that when somebody is really trying to get into the world of real nutrition, they already know that real food is absolutely foremost. They're already past really worrying about calories. They're not playing that game anymore. They're talking about nutrients, and they're trying to raise the bar of the way their body functions. Whereas the people on the first side are still looking at like, well, I'm not willing to put on 5 to 10 pounds to then take off 20, because it'll actually, you know, upregulate my metabolism, let's say, to help me give the ability to take off what I want. But I don't want to do that, so I'm going to do it this way. That person would never last in the second.
Right.
You know, because there are no exceptions.
It's too extreme.
Yeah. It's too real.
Yeah.
It goes back to the original part of this conversation. The ankle works like this. The knee works like this. You know what I mean? Like, we know these things.
Yeah.
And the body, we don't know what it does on every scale, but we have a lot of ideas.
Right.
And we have a lot of abilities that within real food, we can start to change our physiology from the inside out.
Yeah. And look, it's difficult. I get it. Yeah. Right.
That's why you don't worry about it, right?
Yeah.
You gotta go step one first.
I mean, it's tricky. It's tricky. And, you know, just that baby step of like, look, start with eat real foods, of a balanced mix of the various macros, right? Like, don't exclude all carbs. Don't try to whatever, like, just eat real food. And again, I understand that that is not easy. I mean, I struggle with it daily. I'm lucky in that I don't have like a major overeating problem and I'm overweight and all that. If anything, I'm on the other end of like, I need to eat more. I need to consume more. And that's tricky. I have a real struggle with getting enough protein. Like, it's hard. I mean, it takes some effort. What really does, I think people get caught up in that, well, I got to do the extreme thing, right? It's like, because they, like you said, they want you to tell them you got to do keto. You got
to present it to you on social media.
I mean, right now carnivore is
that's why the knees over toes debate is such a debate. And that's why it drives me crazy, because it's all, it comes across the feet. And then it gets in everybody's mind. And so now, like, you literally have people that know zero about biology of the body, but they are arguing nutrition.
And they make it like it's the only way. Mm-hmm. This is, and he's changed his tune. You know who I'm about to say. He has changed his tune drastically. He's changed his name.
Yeah.
He was Carnivore MD. Now he's Paul Saladino MD. And I, like you talk about, I agree with like 90% of what he says. And he is, for whatever reason, he has come back down to earth. He is not nearly as extreme as he was.
Because he allows carbohydrates and things back in, fruits and stuff, right?
Well, but this idea that like broccoli or spinach is killing you and making you sick and making you unhealthy, I think is just so irresponsible for somebody who goes out of their way to say they're a medical doctor, to say, oh, eating vegetables is killing you. It's making you sick because it's got oxalates in it and all this shit. Drives me absolutely insane because he knows absolutely that there is not a single person out there that is obese, sick. I'm going to say a single person. Maybe somebody is uniquely sensitive to that. That's but the thing, nobody though. Is sick, fat, unhealthy, and dying because they ate too many freaking vegetables.
That's exactly the thing.
But if you listen to him once, you're like, oh fuck, I can't eat broccoli. I gotta so take the vegetables out. Oh, and some fruits, like a bell pepper is a fruit, technically. Oh, but I don't eat those because they're like,
bro, I've had a time where like fructose, I was scared of fructose. And I've gone down these things. What that should show, what Carnivore MDs, those videos should show is, man, like the craziest thing in human beings is that, dude, you could have 2,000 fucking healthy people here, and I got these three people out of those 2,000 that have a different reaction to broccoli. It's so not very common, but those oxalates fuck with these. It's such a small percentage in reality. Yes. And really, here's another cool thing. We can actually do this sort of elimination, and we might be able to add it back in. Or you know what I mean? Like that is the actual message. But now everybody's like, fucking vegetables and fucking this. And
yeah.
It's just like, oh my God.
And it hurts people because it's like, well, this doctor is on here saying, and look at him. He looks good. He's walking around in whatever store with his shirt off.
Right.
You know, eating raw testicles. Like,
so that's, we're bringing it a full circle. Cause that's why I get mad at Ben Patrick and them. Like, I really do like them. I listen to all their shit. I love it. I'm just trying to educate the people that like, you got to see through this stuff. We are entrepreneurs and we are trying to make money. I'm trying to make money off of other people.
Yeah.
I am trying to make money. The way I want to make money, I hope, is in these sort of transactions I feel good about. Do I want to sell some products? I do want to sell some products. I have a couple of products, affiliate codes. I have no goal of like making substantial money from it. I use the product every day. It's not like they didn't reach out to me. Like these are things that it's like, I might as well just, you know, do this. We're not playing this game where we're making thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And it gives me incentive to want to keep creating content that keeps you in the game of like, well, fuck that system or screw this diet or that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. It's like, dude, if that's the case, then nobody really knows what they're talking about. Yeah. That's why we're arguing all this stuff. What we do know is that real food is going to find the majority of acceptance in all diet conversations. So if we get all the leaders in all dietary camps to sit at a table and start arguing for everybody's pleasure, they're all going to agree that real food should be the basis of their diet.
Yeah.
If we get all the exercise people and we sit them at a table and we give you the pleasure to see them tear each other down and talk about why their thing sucks, they're all going to agree that good daily mindful movement is key, no matter if you're doing his system or his system.
Yeah.
And I don't even have to bring the breath in there because like you're going to be dead if you don't pay attention to it. But the ones who tie all this other shit together are the ones always talking about the breath. I love Brian McKenzie was super huge in like CrossFit and all these things back in the days, and Shift Adapt is his stuff now. And now he is just putting out amazing research and stuff on the breath and working with Laird Hamilton, and they're doing the underwater stuff. You know, they've created systems, and but here's just a person that from the exercise world went out and said, oh, I'm going to focus on the key source to all of your exercise. No, no, we do kettlebells. No, like, yeah, I control the thing that controls the thing that controls the kettlebell. Like, so we have to kind of think of it like that.
Yeah.
If you're eating real food and you're moving and you are practicing your breath, you are literally doing the three things that all real fit influencers that have gone for decades, that's what they really do. And somebody asked me the other day, do you cold plunge? I said, yes, occasionally, here and there. Not really. It's not as cold as everybody online. So I don't know if you consider it a cold plunge. When do you use it? When I use it, when I want to use it, kind of get in the sauna, get in the colder pool a little bit. Sometimes I take a cold shower, like whenever I need to. You know what? I told him though, I said, here's the thing. You take all of us longevity, fitness experts, whatever, you take us all. And it's not the plunge that makes us. You take the plunge away, and you're going to find another healthy thing that we replace it with. We're going to find just the next thing that gives us something. But behind all that is daily movement, good food, and trying to reduce stress. And I do a terrible job of that by getting on social media and seeing all these things.
Getting on here and ranting.
And I send you these videos and I'm like, God, I just want to rant on this right now. But I do. And I do want to say, I know we're going to kind of close up in a second, but I want to say one other thing, because I made you listen to that podcast about this is too deep. We're going to have to really do some planning and like think about how to articulate this to people, because I don't think any of the podcasts that talk about the Joel Seedman or the 90 degree debate really gives context of what everybody should be thinking. But I would say this, if anybody is out there and anybody likes to make fun of Joel Seedman and wants to talk about the range of motion and all that kind of stuff and lifting, I've really thought about this. And I'm not saying I'm on Joel's side with the 90 degree thing. But if I contextually break this out to you, I think, and I have put this, they're too big time. They don't respond back. Aaron Alexander of Align Podcast, Zach Tellender, Coach ZT. I've sent it. I mean, dude, I've Modern Wisdom, Mark Bell. I've blown all their Instagrams up with this over and over and over. And a couple of them, we have very mutual connections. So I know this is kind of going to get through because I've talked to them before. And I think that they would all agree. And that's the irony. Like if I were to paint this out, they would all go, yeah, I think I would agree with that. And that's what's confusing. Because if I got them to answer the basic questions, you guys would all see that we're creating storylines. We're creating content. We're creating conversation. So my thing with the 90 degrees, if you know about Joel Seedman, I ask you this. Let's take 100 CrossFitters or those types of exercisers in a gym. Let's just go down to Onnit. Everybody's followed Onnit. Let's take 100 of those fit young people in Onnit. And let's do this. Let's teach them how to swing the Indian club, swing the mace, you know, really move with the kettlebell. Let's teach them how to do the animal flow stuff like they do up there. Let's teach them all the systems they sell themselves. Let's teach them that stuff. Let's do the joint decompress and really work on the durability, the warm up. And on our lifting, on our resistance training, our big core lifts, yeah, let's just keep them at 90 degrees. Feed them really well. All of a sudden, you're probably going to end up with less injuries, just as much muscle or more, and just as much performance or more, because they're going to be healthier, not wear and tear of reaching just bullshit exercise. Bullshit exercise. So where people come onto this is, well, you have to be able to squat past 90 degrees. You have to be able to do these things. That's what movement practice and life is. You guys are talking about lifting. We're not talking about like, do you warm up? Do you do calisthenics? Do you load through sprinting progressions? Do you do body weight training? There's a whole world of getting into the joints, loading tissue at end range and stuff. It doesn't have to always be underneath the bar on the back squat. Mm. And I am for past 90 degrees in a lot of contexts, but I live in a world now where I'm like, I bet you it would be better to just keep everybody at 90 degrees with that pretty risky ass stuff, get everybody really good at this stuff, and I bet you my results will be better.
Absolutely.
And that just fucking irks people. And it irks people depending on what camp they came from.
Yeah.
Because if you came into camp that has a lot of deep range of motion, in range stuff, you're going to fight for it. If you're naturally a more mobile person and have always valued having good in range position, what are you going to fight for? If you're a stiffer, beat up, more power lifter or this type of thing, we posted the swimmer's body illusion.
Well, sorry, we should talk about that next
absolutely
week.
100% truth to it.
Absolutely. We'll talk about that next time. The swimmer's body illusion. Because I think they took that down.
Yeah, they took it down. I had to go do some work to find it.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why.
Well, we're going to talk about it. And maybe we'll talk about AG1 because I'm going to rant on that.
Yeah. Well, we got to get it approved of an affiliate first so that we can at least capitalize off of you guys.
If you're going to do it, use our affiliate link, even though I want to shit all over it. So
unless they're already using Rogan's, that's the bad part. They're probably already using Rogan's. Yeah. But yeah,
we want to unpack that and talk about the money behind the program. But that's for next time on the Green Streak Podcast. In the meantime, Coach, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at GreenStrengthIV and online at green-strength.com. We've got some stuff in the works coming up. We're making some transitions at the actual gym, and hopefully we're going to be able to put a lot more stuff out there. And I know I've been talking with Jeff here and kind of coming full circle on getting through a lot of this stuff and what I want to be able to try to give you guys. So just the simple basics we're talking about, the simple stuff. I know a lot of you guys asked a question that I did not cover today on mobility. And my answer to that is explore. It's all over the place. Just take the words from Ben Patrick and don't go through pain.
There you go. Maybe we can explore some more mobility stuff next time.
Yeah, for sure.
There you go. There's our three for next time. Be ready for that. We'll maybe talk some mobility, talk some AG1 business. What was the other thing? Oh, the swimmer's body illusion. Excellent. I look forward to it. I can't wait. It's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, you found that one.
Yeah, I did. Finally, I've done something productive on the Green Streak Podcast. We'll see you next time.
Yes. Peace.